Happy opening day, you animals. Hey. You monsters. You mongrels. You filthy clowns.
You nice people.
No.
You nice smelling people.
Smelling?
I don't know. I was trying to be complimentary. You're the one who's trying to drag everybody down, like always.
Well, as usual. It's pretty much my role on this podcast and in life. I like dragging people down.
Just bringing people down to your level.
I like ruining previously happy lives. I'm good at that. Hey, hi everybody. What's up? Welcome in. It is opening day morning. Kinda. The home opener. And here we are for episode number 98 of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. I am Tyler Mon.
And I am Anthony Masterson.
And got a lot coming up for you on the show today. Actually, not really. That's pretty much a lie. We're going to do a short one.
That's a complete lie.
We're going to do a short one today. Wanted to get you something for the home opener. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll preview that. We'll talk about the series in Milwaukee. The Rockies coming away with a 3-1 record, which still somehow people are finding things to complain about. But, you know, whatever.
It's
opening day. It's opening day, man.
I mean, there's no other better day throughout the year, especially in downtown Denver, because Denver shells out for opening day. I know Purple Rose got a big thing going on down there, I believe, at Wincoop Brewery. I've never actually been to an opening day, and so it's so sad. I've only been able to see it from afar.
You've never been to opening day?
I've never had an opportunity to go. I've always either been here, busy. Even when I was in school, I was in Ohio when that started, or Wyoming for that matter, too, when I was growing up. So, yeah, I've never been able to go to opening day.
That's crazy. I actually would not have guessed that. I know. This will be – I think I've missed up until I was a junior in college, I had never missed a home opener. And since then, I've missed more than I've been able to attend. But I think this will be my fourth straight now since I moved back at the end of 2012. So that's pretty cool. And going to get a chance to go down and check out the clubhouse. Will be open this morning, I think at 9:55 it'll open. So we'll kind of see how the mood is in there, which I would imagine it's got to be pretty good for a Rockies team that'll come home at 3-1 after a series victory at Milwaukee. And a lot of positives from that series, especially with a team that's still, you know, pretty banged up as far as an opening day roster goes. We won't be seeing, you know, still the ideal starting lineup. No David Dahl, no Ian Desmond, no Tommy Murphy, but you know, there's a lot of good stuff to take away from that series in Milwaukee.
Yeah, what if I told you the Colorado Rockies lead the league right now in strikeouts?
What?
And not from their offense.
Yeah, exactly.
From their pitching staff.
The good kind of strikeouts.
45 strikeouts in those first four games in Milwaukee there. That leads the league currently. I mean, Ian Desmond not playing, but he may not have a job when he comes back.
Right?
Considering how well Mark Reynolds is playing so far. I mean, Mark Reynolds in that series went 7-for-15 with 3 doubles, 2 homers, and 6 runs batted in. Gerardo Parra, not to be denied, he went 6-for-15 in that opening series with 4 runs batted in. He also walked once, which is incredible. Good for Gerardo Parra. So right now, as I mentioned on Twitter a few times, my NL MVP rankings right now, the race is on. Mark Reynolds is number one. I think Yasiel Puig right now is number two.
Yeah.
And then Gerardo Parra is slotting in right there in the bronze medal category.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say that's fair. Puig is, you know, he's going to fall off because nobody can keep up with what Mark Reynolds is doing right now. Let's just put it that way.
Well, listen, nobody can.
He's like the surface of the sun. That's how hot Mark Reynolds is right now. oh, by the way.
Playing highlight reel defense, too.
Yeah, I know. Playing good defense. And, oh, by the way, came a little bit cheaper than Ian Desmond, we'll say. We'll leave it at that. But, no, I mean, there is a lot of really good stuff that you can take away from that series in Milwaukee. The Rockies getting victories in games 1, 2, and 4. And getting good contributions from the guys you really want to see. Nolan Arenado comes through with a game-winning homer yesterday in the finale to that one. Nolan on the young season is batting .357. There are some guys the Rockies want to get going, obviously, but it's 4 games into the season. Charlie Blackmon started a little slow, too, for his first 16. Same for Carlos Gonzalez. DJ LeMahieu won for his first 15. But, you know, this is a lineup that has enough weapons that even when guys are struggling, they have the time to get it figured out, because eventually when they get red hot, somebody else might tail off a little bit. So I'm not too worried about it.
And the most important thing for me is that how well the bullpen has pitched so far.
Yeah, that is the key.
The bullpen has been absolutely outstanding so far for the Rockies. But three guys specifically, Mike Dunn, Carlos Estevez, and Greg Holland, they have combined to allow 0 runs in 8 2/3 innings, striking out 13 batters in those 8 2/3 innings, only walking 4. Greg Holland is a perfect 3 for 3 in save opportunities. I mean, it was exactly the start that the Rockies could have hoped for. I'm not sure they could have been really honestly any better. Of course, you wanted to sweep the series, but from the guys you wanted to see play well, you know that Cargo's going to hit. You know that Charlie's going to hit. You know that DJ's going to hit. You know, you wanted to see some pop from the other guys like Parra, like Reynolds, see them start strong. You wanted to see Mike Dunn make his Rockies debut in a very strong way, and man, did he ever. But, I mean, bullpen so far, a 1.88 ERA in those first four games with 19 Ks and 14 and a third, only 7 walks. And that's going to win you a lot of games.
And what's sort of crazy is you look at the starters' numbers really aren't that great so far. And obviously
Stella.
Extremely right. Exactly. Save for Antonio Sensatella. And we're going to talk about him here in a little bit, but extremely small sample sizes. But Tyler Anderson goes out, gives up 5 runs on 8 hits over 5 2/3. Some encouraging stuff though. Struck out 8, walked 1. Tyler Chatwood, 4 runs on 7 hits over 6 innings. Again, struck out 5, walked 1, got burned by home run balls, both of those guys. Anderson giving up a homer, Chatwood giving up 2. John Gray goes out, flat out dominant for his first 4 innings. Then all of a sudden the wheels came off. But 4 innings for John, 5 runs on 6 hits. But again, struck out 7, walked 2. There are only 2 guys on this staff with more than 2 walks through the season's first 4 games. One of them is Adam Ottavino, who has really bowed his back in big spots, as he did on Tuesday in that getting out of that big jam, and I believe the 7th in a Rockies victory. And Antonio Sensatella, who goes out and throws 5 shutout innings in his major league debut and struck out 6. He did walk 3 and hit a batter. But, I don't think that we are used to talking about a Rockies bullpen as being the thing that carried them through a game, much less a series. And that's encouraging, because for the first time in a long time, and the first time maybe ever, this is a starting pitching staff that I think most of us have a ton of faith in. I'm not worried about those guys. I'm not worried about Anderson and Chatwood and Gray and Sensatella. They're going to get it figured out. If the bullpen is what the bullpen looks like it's going to be, in Rockies franchise history, the teams that have been most successful are the teams with successful bullpens. The 95 team, the 2007 team, the 2009 team, even the 2010 team until the end. That's huge. And yes, it's tough to have a podcast on day 5 of the season because you want to be able to make grand proclamations, which is difficult after a small sample size. But this is really encouraging through one series.
Yeah, I mean, how could it not be? I mean, you wanted to see Mike Dunn come out and shove. You want to see Ottavino, Greg Holland, because, you know, spring training, they're still trying to shake the rust off, especially a guy like Holland, who's missed a year and a half, basically. And he's come out. He's been chucking it up there, 95, 96. His sliders look dominant. His splitters look great. I mean, we didn't see that in spring training. And now that we're ready to go, I mean, we're seeing the wonderment of it all when it comes to Greg Holland. Really, he looks almost like that guy he was 2, 3, 4 years ago.
He does. His stuff is dirty. I mean, you can see why was a frontline closer on a pennant winning team. And the fact that the Rockies were able to haul him in, and it speaks all to Steve Foster, because the relationship between Greg Holland when he was in Kansas City and Foster when he was a pitching coach in Kansas City, that seems to be what lured Greg Holland here. And it's not always going to be sunshine and roses. Which, you know, you can say about a lot of things in life. It's not going to be beautiful every day for Greg Holland, but the fact that he has started this strong, that is really encouraging. Hasn't given up a hit in his 3 innings. And right now, I mean, if this type of thing continues over the season, he's not going to finish the season with a 0.00 ERA. But this looks like one hell of a scrap heap type of deal. And again, this is not a player that traditionally the Colorado Rockies would be able to haul in. A lot of teams were interested in Greg Holland. A lot of teams. Yeah. So for the Rockies to be the ones to land him and for him to look this good right out of the gate is pretty damn impressive.
Well, and Mike Dunn, too. Mike Dunn has pitched in 3 games, 3 1/3 innings. He struck out 6 batters.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's surprising as well. Carlos Estevez, he has looked very, very strong.
He has
looked
really good.
He was very inconsistent. We saw flashes of brilliance from Carlos Estevez. And right now in the first, he pitched 3 games in that Brewers series as well. And he looked very, very good. Did not even allow a hit, only allowed 1 base runner. But I tweeted this out last night. And, you know, the thing is this year with how they're gauging velocity, it's going to be a little bit different this year. They're going to have a significant uptick in velocities for every single pitcher, usually probably about 1 mile per hour or so, because now they're judging velocity out of the pitcher's hand instead of when it hits home plate now.
Right.
So it's going to be a little bit of an uptick. And so there's a big article on Fangraphs detailing it. I think I tweeted it out the other day. But last night, the Rockies pitchers, all 5 pitchers, Senzatella, Estevez, Ottavino, Dunn, and Holland. Here's their average fastball velocities. Senzatella, 94.6. Estevez, 96. Ottavino, 94. Dunn, 92.7. Holland, 95. At no point in Rockies franchise history have they ever probably had a game where they had 5 different pitchers come in, each throwing 93 and above on average.
That's sexy, man.
I mean, it's a new day. I mean, this is even talking about, you know, John Gray, who also throws just as hard. You know, Senzatella was fantastic last night too. But you know, there's reason to like what we're seeing. And of course, if they go out and get swept by the Dodgers, we're going to come back next week and say all's lost.
Yeah.
And the season is over. Just pack it in.
Me and you be pessimistic?
Yeah, nah.
What? No.
Nah.
No.
No, it's not going to stop other Rockies fans from being pessimistic.
Well, yeah, exactly. Anthony tweets out a really encouraging stat, says it's a new day, and immediately we get a reply from a guy who's like, it'll be a new day when the starters can go more than 5 innings. Dude, they just won a series on the road to start the season. They look like a good team. They look like a well-rounded team. Stop being Randy Quaid for Major League 2 for 5 seconds. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty hard. it's pretty hard for a lot of people to do that.
One name that I do want to discuss, we talked about Greg Holland, who I think is one of the best stories out of the gate this year, but Antonio Senzatella goes out yesterday, the series finale in Milwaukee, not always the prettiest. He got into a lot of deep counts, threw 93 pitches over 5 innings, allowed 2 hits.
Killed Keon Broxton.
Yeah, almost took Keon Broxton's face off. Thankfully, that seemed like it got most of the ear flap and not all face. It wasn't Jordan Lyles and Ryan Vogel song. But Antonio, just a word of advice, maybe send a text and see how he's doing, because that did not go so well for Jordan Lyles last time. But ultimately, faced 20 batters, a 125 opponent's average over those 20 batters because he only gave up the 2 hits. He did walk 3 guys. He hit a batter, but he struck out 6, and he doesn't allow any runs over 5 innings. And for Senzatella, we talked about him last week. This is a guy who's never pitched above Double A. He only made 7 starts in Double A, but he came into 2017 as a guy on a mission because of what he dealt with last year, the shoulder injury, his mother getting cancer. He went home to Venezuela. She passed away. This is a storyline that feels like something big is coming from it. And when you talk to people in the Rockies organization about Antonio Senzatella, the way they rave about him and have raved about him for several years is in a different manner than I hear them talk about other players. With other players, you can tell they really like guys, they really believe in guys. With Antonio Senzatella, it's like they're cheering for a family member. And especially with what he went through last season, this is something you can feel really good about. And, yeah, there's a chance he comes home and he, you know, puts up a 7.5 ERA at Coors Field, and we see him in Albuquerque in a couple of months. But I'm thrilled for that guy to start this season, to start it so well, to start it in the Major League rotation. We had a segment on the Minor League podcast the other day in which we picked American and National League Rookies of the Year. And, you know, I think they're the obvious picks. I said my obvious picks were Andrew Benintendi of the Red Sox and Dansby Swanson of the Braves, but I also said if we're not going to go down the obvious road, this is the name I'm going to throw out on the National League side. It's going to seem insane, but Antonio Senzatella seems like a guy who was created to pitch for the Rockies at Coors Field. The way they have embraced his ascent through the minors to the major leagues as a prospect that really, alongside guys like John Gray and Kyle Freeland and Jeff Hoffman, doesn't stand out. The stuff isn't quite as sexy as those guys, but Senzatella just seems like if you wrapped up the dynamism of Ubaldo Jimenez with the reliability of Aaron Cook. That kind of seems what you've got in Antonio Sensatella. And I don't know if he's going to challenge for the National League Rookie of the Year, but I do know that if he goes out and does what the Rockies seem to think he's going to be able to do, he's not a number four. This is a mid to upper rotation kind of guy. So that was a really encouraging start to his career.
And what I liked most about his start yesterday was that he did start slowly. You can tell the nerves were there. He loaded the bases with one out in the first inning, got a double play, got out of it. And it seems like after that, he just kind of realized that, okay, I belong here. I'll be fine. And for the next four innings, he went out and they only allowed like three base runners. I think in the next four innings, I think that's the most important thing right there, because you don't want to let the nerves get ahead of you. You don't want to let the moment be bigger than you are. And that's what Antonio Sensatella in his career has been very good at, is not letting the moment be bigger than him. And that was what happened yesterday.
Yeah. And I think traditionally, and maybe the numbers wouldn't necessarily bear this out, but traditionally it seems like if you're a Rockies player, a pitcher especially, and you get called up and you get put into a tough spot early on in your major league career, things aren't really going to go your way so often. John Gray ran into trouble early on. Eddie Butler obviously ran into trouble early on in their debuts. And to see it go the other way is really encouraging and speaks a lot to Antonio Sensatella's maturity on the mound, which, you know, I mean, the kid's 22 years old, but from what everybody says about him, he is as much a major league pitcher in mindset and in intelligence as anything else. So to see him be able to get out of that first inning, he allows two hits, he allows a walk, but he doesn't give anything up. That's big. And it's big to get from not only a 22-year-old, but a guy who's in the number four spot in your rotation, because in seasons past, you couldn't really count on the number four guy in a Rockies rotation to be able to bow up in a bases loaded situation in the first inning and not let it spiral out of control. So it, you know, I keep coming back to that tweet that you sent yesterday where you said it's a new day. That's what it feels like with these guys.
It does. And speaking of a new day, we got a new day starting right now in Denver with a very, very special moment going to be happening for the Colorado Rockies. Kyle Freeland, a Denver native, going to make his major league debut starting the home opener at Coors Field. I can't even imagine how much of a cool-ass feeling that's got to be for Kyle Freeland right now. I mean, the nerves have got to be insane for him. I mean, he's going to have a lot of family and friends there. It's going to be an electric atmosphere at Coors Field. The Dodgers in town. This is a moment today right now for Kyle Freeland.
This is one of those things why, aside from my general lack of talent and athleticism, one of those reasons why I wouldn't have been a successful professional athlete is when you take into account a moment like this where Kyle Freeland is getting the ball for the team he grew up cheering for, at the ballpark he grew up going to games at, in front of friends, in front of family, in his hometown, and he's going against the best team in his division. Competitors want the ball in that moment. If you're Kyle Freeland, this is what you're dying to do. You don't want to go out and get your first major league start against the Padres at a quarter full Petco Park. This is what you want. Not for me. I would have been scared out of my mind if I was.
You would have been
like
totally fine with that. You'd just kind of done the for love of the game Kevin Costner
absolutely.
Thing and just zoned everybody out.
Yeah, no, totally. That would have been me. Cleared the mechanism.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. That's what he called it.
Yeah, no, I would have. I don't come up big in pressure situations. But for Kyle Freeland, I mean, this is really exciting, and it's been cool because I know there was a tweet somebody posted. And I don't remember if the Rockies retweeted it. Somebody retweeted it, but of Kyle Freeland's mom teaches at an elementary school, and it was a picture of the faculty at the school with a sign that says, I don't remember the name of the school, but the name of the school hearts Kyle Freeland, which is so cool. I wonder if
so adorable.
I wonder if he got a place to live or if he's just back at home. I would just go back home. You know? Well, like your mom can make you breakfast the morning of your start. It'd be awesome.
I remember like when Nolan came up. There was a story like a year in, like he was had some big interview with Jenny or something like that. And he was saying, yeah, you know, it's been a weird moment. Like I got to get on my own cell phone plan. I was on my family plan for so long. And Todd Helton, like Todd was still there. So it's been like his first year. Walked by and was like, dude, you're a big leaguer. You can pay for your own cell phone. It's like that's kind of how I feel like with Kyle Freeland right now. Like, yeah, he might be living at home, but, you know, it's there's no reason why he wouldn't be. I mean,
yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? I mean,
it's a smart plan.
Yeah, you're a 23-year-old kid living the big league life. You're going to have a chance to impress everybody you ever went to school with growing up, all the kids who who liked you, who didn't like you, they're going to see you no matter what on the mound on the home opener for the Colorado Rockies. So I honestly cannot even imagine the feeling that Kyle Freeland is going to have when he walks out of that dugout, steps on that mound today. It's going to be so electric.
This is really cool, and there's a really, really good story up on Rockies.com from Thomas Harding from yesterday about Kyle Freeland, his debut, how cool this story is. By the way, Kyle's mom, Susan, is the secretary at Home Elementary, and that's where Freeland went to school as a young kid.
My parents were both teachers. My mom taught fourth grade. She made damn well sure I did not go to the same school that she taught at.
I'm not sure if she taught there when he was there, but she's the secretary. She's not a teacher anyway.
Sure.
But Thomas makes sure to note they never let him skip school for opening day. So he said, Thomas said at first, Kyle Freeland barely remembered his first opener. But now he is starting as the first Denver-born pitcher to ever start for the Rockies on opening day. He's only the third Denver-born pitcher in franchise history and only the fifth pitcher born in Colorado in franchise history. But this is just so, so cool. Kyle Freeland, of course, grew up from Holm Elementary, went to Thomas Jefferson High School, moved on to a very, very good college career at Evansville, and that is, I think, for Kyle Freeland, we talked so much about how you didn't really know what you were getting from him right out of the gate. Because he was kept on a tight leash in his debut season in 2015, dealt with some injuries. I think he had a bone chips operation in his elbow, only made 9 appearances. And then last year was like, whoa, okay, this is the guy you got. And like Antonio Sensatella, he forced his way to the major leagues this year. The Cleveland Indians, a couple of weeks ago, sent their top prospect Bradley Zimmer down to AAA Columbus. And when they did, Terry Francona said, like, I didn't really know what to tell him. He's been so good in camp. But what I told him was, knock down the door and make us call you up. And that's what these guys have done on the Rockies side. They've forced this issue. It would have been really easy for the Rockies to go into spring training and say, okay, Chris Russin is going to get one of these spots.
Oh, God.
Herman Marquez maybe is going to get one of these spots. Yeah. We want to go with veteran guys. But the fact that they came in, and not only on the player development side and on the major league side with Zach Wilson and Jeff Breidich, that they had open eyes, but that Bud Black was cool to go into this and look at Antonio Sensatella and Kyle Freeland and Herman Marquez and think, I'm going to evaluate these guys as if they're rotation contenders and not guys that we're going to keep in the minor leagues for Super 2 considerations, not guys that we're going to keep in the minor leagues because we don't trust the fact that they haven't started much over Double A. That's huge. That speaks very highly of what's going on right now on that staff.
Well, I think that's a big positive for the Rockies of bringing in a new manager. Bud Black came in. He didn't know these guys necessarily. And so he was just going to come in and see it from an outsider's perspective. He can say, okay, well, we're going to take the 5 best starting pitchers coming out of camp, and I don't care who they are. And that's kind of what he did, because Antonio Sensatella, Herman Marquez, Kyle Freeland, all three of them came into camp without the promise of anything. And they came out and they pitched the spring training of their lives, and they all earned jobs at the big league level for the most part. So I think that was the big key for the Rockies, is having somebody else come in. It wasn't Walt Weiss coming in there with his, you know, third, fourth year, whatever, at the helm of the Rockies and saying, okay, well, I know the Sensatella was in Double A last year, so this year he's going to start in Triple A. No, it was giving everybody a chance. It was saying, hey, if you want to earn a spot in this Rockies rotation, show me. And they did. And that's why it feels like a new day in Denver,
which is pretty dang cool. The Rockies will open a series with the Los Angeles Dodgers today. And I'm going to the game today as a media member. Tomorrow I'm going as a fan, which is DJ LeMahieu, National League batting champion bobblehead night. So I'm very excited for that. And then Sunday they'll wrap up with the Dodgers at 1:10. And then the always exciting San Diego Padres come to town for 3 games. This is one of the crazy things about this season, though. The Rockies open with 14 straight games before they have their first off day. They don't have an off day until the 17th, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's weird because there's a lot of weird oddities like that in the schedule right now, because the D-backs are like 24, their first 27 games are against the division. The only 3 that aren't are this weekend when they host the Indians. And also, speaking of crazy bobbleheads, the Jake Lamb bobblehead is coming on Saturday with the Indians and the D-backs. It's actually got the picture of Jake Lamb with the lamb, the actual physical lamb that he had when he was part of the final vote last year. When our good pal Mike Farron dressed up as a lamb on Fox Sports Arizona, and they brought an actual lamb in there, and they're trying to get him to push for that final vote. That's the bullhead coming up on Saturday.
I back you back, we back all his back.
His back, Thor back. There's a back. Hey, you back. Hey, that guy, show me his back.
You know, it's strange too. The Rockies and the Diamondbacks play literally every 16 minutes in spring training. They're not going to see each other until May 5th, 6th, and 7th this year.
Oh.
Which is so very strange. And they won't see each other again that month, which means the Rockies and Diamondbacks are going to play every other day in August September. And September,
yeah.
Which is going to be so exhausting. They'll have one series together in June. They'll open July against each other. Yeah, it's just going to be nonstop Rockies D-backs, sexy Rockies D-backs action in September, which is going to be, because they don't play at all in August. God, it's really going to be like three series in September against the D-backs. So that'll be great. Very exciting stuff. But this weekend, a very good barometer for the Rockies, it's pronounced thermometer, for the Rockies to be able to test themselves against the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers are coming in. I mean, a team that looks like the class of its division in a lot of ways. It has been a very interesting offensive week for the Dodgers. They're batting .262 as a team, but the guys who you expect to be really damn good have been really damn good. Corey Seager's batting .313. He's got a homer and five driven in. Yasiel Puig, the runner-up to Mark Reynolds in the early National League MVP balloting, is batting .417 with three homers and five driven in. And Adrian Gonzalez, you always know, is going to be good. He's got four hits in his first 12 at-bats as well. But that pitching staff is dominant right now. They've got a 2.25 staff ERA after four games. Now, granted, it was against the Padres.
It was against the Padres.
But they're 3-1 also coming in. This will be a good early measuring stick for the Rockies.
Yeah, three NL West teams currently checking in at 3-1, and then the Giants in last place at 1-3.
Oh, the Giants.
I feel so bad for them.
Oh, the Giants. Grant Brisby of McGovey Chronicles tweeted out last night something along the lines of the link to his game recap, which said it was a very Giants recap. And then the headline or the subhead was the Giants are 1-3 and I don't remember how they got the one, which is, seems pretty accurate.
He might've made my favorite tweet for a long time yesterday, because the Henry Shulman posted a picture of a bunch of stacked Cleveland Indians duffel bags, all with Chief Wahoo facing out. So it's all a bunch of Chief Wahoo facing the camera.
Oh boy.
And then it's like 30 different bags of Chief Wahoo facing the camera. And Grant Brisby quote tweeted it and said, "I'd like to think Andrew Jackson saw something like this when he reached the afterlife."
Oh my God. Oh boy. Wowzers. Same here though.
I literally snorted at my desk when I read that last night.
That is amazing. That's the lone thing that I enjoy about playing the Giants is getting ready to read Grant Brisby's post-game recaps, especially if it's just some insane Coors Field game and he has to figure out a way to explain it. By the way, that's one other note that we should discuss, and we'll be wrapping this up pretty quick today because we both got to get out of here. Next week, we'll be back with a full-length episode after the home opening series. But news came down yesterday. The Arizona Diamondbacks will be adding a humidor to Chase Field. So no longer will the Rockies be the lone team with a humidor in Major League Baseball, and there are several minor league teams that have a humidor. The Sky Sox do in Colorado Springs. The Isotopes do in Albuquerque. I want to say Reno and Las Vegas, maybe one or both of those teams does. But, yeah, the D-backs are going to be doing that at the big league level.
Oh, you know.
So I guess they've now lost the right to complain about the humidor when they come here. And as I believe, as our good buddy Rock at Rockies versus Connor Farrell said on Twitter, the Giants now have to assume that their broadcast team is preparing conspiracy notes for nine more games a season about humidors.
Correct. What is it about imitation and flattery and, you know?
Yeah. You know, as long as the Rockies don't do it in reverse with uniforms, I'm okay.
Oh God. Can you imagine just like a white uniform with like purple gradient on it?
I back, you back, we back, all back the D-backs. I thought that was like a Kansas State don't forget your power towel thing. Like, I thought they had created that song, everybody mocked it, and they don't use it. But the other night I turned on one of their games against the Giants, and after they finished off the win, they played that song, blasting it over the speakers. Gross.
Yep.
Have Nicole explain that to us one day.
Oh, no, she loves it, man. She sings it around the house.
Nicole, come on.
Yeah, it's not great.
Man, I'm excited for today, though. It's been an otherwise, you know, just like garbage kick in the stomach week. So I'm excited for today, the Rockies and the Los Angeles Dodgers at Coors Field. You will be hearing this, possibly, before we get things rolling. It will be a 2-10 first pitch between Kyle Freeland and Hyunjin Ryu, who will take the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm interested to see how he looks because it's been a weird last couple of seasons for Hyunjin Ryu, who was injured in 2014. He made 26 starts. He was great over his first two seasons, but he didn't appear in any games in 2015, only made one start last year. I'll be interested to see what he looks like this season. And to be honest, if I'm the Rockies, I'm excited that you're getting him for his debut start at Coors Field this year.
You get his first start at Coors Field coming back? Like, hey, welcome back, buddy.
Coors.
Yeah.
Coors.
You're going to get a lot of Coors tweets.
Whole lot of Coors tweets today. So I think that's it. Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's roll this thing up, get a head down, and get this thing out.
I'm going to be on
for people's ear holes.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan today. Apparently they're going to sanction talking baseball for a day.
Oh, so 104.3 The Fan.
I'll be on that at 9:15 this morning. Not that anybody will hear this before then, but then headed to Coors Field. We'll be tweeting out some good stuff from the PDP account all day, and yeah, we'll have some fun, and we'll talk to you guys next week. If you have not yet, you can go to purpledinosaurpodcast.bigcartel.com and order your Party Deck Against the World t-shirts. I just got mine yesterday.
Down there today. Yeah,
I will. I will. I got mine yesterday. Tyler and Kirsten swung by my house, dropped them off. They are fantastic, and I am very excited to wear mine tomorrow for my first date night with the Rockies of 2017 as a fan.
Ooh.
And
you going to give them your flower?
Maybe. I haven't decided yet. I haven't decided. I mean, probably.
It's a big decision.
Okay. Happy opening day, everyone.
And on that note, bye.
Love you. Bye.